All right, we're going to Canada today, folks. We're joined by Jaz Takkar. He has been in the real estate industry for over 25 years, manages a team of great realtors up there in Toronto. He does a lot of deals. I think they did over 700 deals this past year alone. He leads a great team up there. He's got his pulse on the industry in that country, probably more than just about anyone I've ever had here on the show. And he joins me live from Toronto today. Nice to see you, Jaz. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Clayton. Really, really appreciate it. And thanks so much for the kind words.
You bet. So how are you holding up? How is Canada doing right now? We're still in the midst of this global pandemic. Of course, everyone has a different story, different countries. But from a real estate perspective, how is your office doing? Are you able to go to the office? How are your agents faring right now?
So we're probably about 6 weeks into this lockdown right now. Real estate is an essential service deemed by the government. So we can go to the office, but we said, look, we're going to practice as much social distancing as we possibly can. So as most of your viewers and listeners know, like real estate and realtors, they're equipped to work from home. So my team of 25 realtors and 10 support staff all work from home. I'm under the umbrella of Royal LePage Signature, which is an organization of 1,100 realtors. And right across the board, we're all working from home. Sales like in the country and specifically the greater Toronto area, which is like a 70-kilometer radius that my team and I focus on, sales have dropped significantly. They've dropped by about 87%, believe it or not. Wow. However, that doesn't mean that values drop. And so it's funny, right? Like Clayton, you've been in the media for a very long time. Most people are headline readers, right? And so they read, they see 87% drops in sales. They automatically start to think, oh my God, my value of my home went down 87%. No, just the amount of transactions. Now, actual values, they actually increased from month to month because the supply of listings also came down. Not as many people are going out and seeing homes. Not as many people are putting up for sale signs. So we still have a supply and demand issue that we've always had here in Toronto. We have a lot more people coming in from the immigration perspective, and we don't have a lot of supply. So yes, sales are down, but values have still crept up by about 3%. Just to give you some context and your viewers and listeners some context, pre-COVID, going into COVID, end of February, we were seeing values being appreciated by about 13% year over year. Wow. And so now I think we're right around the 3-4%.
So maybe even a healthier number. I mean, I'm here in Portugal right now, and Lisbon was just overinflated. But then I was back home, was in Texas a few weeks ago, where we're building a lot of new construction properties, and our appreciation number there is around a healthy 3-4%. And I always love to say to my audience, I like a healthy, boring appreciation, not this overinflated 13% stuff, because that's San Francisco territory, right?
Look, it's funny, man. Off air, we were talking for a couple of minutes, and now I know we truly are kindred souls, because that's exactly what I like. That's the way that I like to look at real estate. Slow and steady wins the race. It's we all know the story about the tortoise and the hare, right? And so slow and steady will always perform for you. Anything that goes up really fast generally needs to come down. In fact, 2 years ago in Toronto, we saw 17.1% increase. Us as realtors, we were freaking out. We were freaking out because everyone's, in the media or just our clients are like, you must be loving this. And it's like, no, because for one home, there was like 37 buyers putting in an offer. From a business perspective, it's not like we were doing more deals. It was actually tougher at that time. And then what always happens, especially in Canada, the government, right or wrong, and this, I'll never go kind of on a political rant, but right or wrong, they'll have some type of intervention. And they did. They came out with some like the Fair Housing Plan, to be specific, which cooled the market down. However, it really was a band-aid. And why I say that, because I always go back to basic supply and demand. We have, counting like inner country, secondary immigration, we have a little over 200,000 people coming into our city year over year for the next 10 years. So for the 200,000, we need approximately 50,000 households, new households, to be built, because the average person comes with a family of four. We, on a good year, do about 32 to 33,000 households. So we have a major supply and demand issue, because there's also a legislation that was put into effect about 10 years ago that does not allow developers to build in certain areas of our city. So we're essentially like kind of like a real estate island. The north of us, we have this restriction where developers can't build. The south of the city is the lake, can't obviously build there. And so, you know, a lot of the government regulations and the interventions that come into play is really talking about the demand side. What we really need to hit is the supply. It takes, Clayton, believe it or not, I mean, you're in construction. It takes 10 years from an application to a shovel, for a shovel to go in the ground here. It takes 10 years. I think in Manhattan, and I know you were from there, I think Manhattan is like 2.5, 3 years. You know, so like we're really, really slow. Canadians in general are very conservative, but there's so much red tape. And I think that's what needs to be taken care of before the demand side.
Yeah, I agree. We're seeing that same thing here in Portugal. You know, we moved here about a year ago as we fell in love with it. And we fell in love with this 5 years ago, but it is very slow. Like if you want to renovate a property, you can do that much more quickly. But to build ground up construction here is very, very slow. That's why we build in the United States. That's why we're building in Texas mostly. You talked about the essential workers. That's what we're seeing as well in the United States. So we're able to continue building. We were concerned about supply from a materials perspective, but that seems to be fine because we actually get a lot of our lumber from your neck of the woods up there in Canada. So that's been great. And China has really ramped back up manufacturing again, back up to like almost about 90% capacity again, if you can believe that. One of the things you talked about I wanted to touch on was this supply and demand. We have, you know, an affordable housing crisis in the United States. We just don't have enough of them. And so I think that's a major reason why we are deemed essential right now. Because we just need to keep cranking these homes out. What are you seeing up there? Is there a lot of construction happening to try to keep up with this demand for supply right now?
Yeah, so any developer that had a footing in the ground, you're still allowed to continue to with construction. However, because of because of social distancing, where you might see, you know, 5-6 people in a hoist pre-COVID, now you're seeing one or two people, and so it's definitely slowed it down. However, you're still able to go forward with construction. In terms of, you know, really going back really quickly here, you spoke about affordable housing. I mean, that's probably the biggest problem we're having in Toronto, because it's just starting to get very, very expensive for the average person to be living in the downtown core of the city, right? But look, when I speak to clients, I do tell them, like, the average person can also buy an apartment in Manhattan, or like, I'm not sure what the values exactly are in like the bigger cities, like a Lisbon, for example, but Manhattan, London, Paris, Hong Kong, the average person cannot buy in the like the core of the city. You drive till you qualify, right? So we see a lot of that happening in Toronto. But at the end of the day, the city needs to open up the red tape, so to speak, or get rid of it to allow developers to construct quicker.
Yeah. I mean, there's a direct correlation between cutting that red tape and construction happening very quickly. You see it all the time in the United States.
Sure.
And you certainly see that even among the red and blue states that we call them in the United States. So that's why we build in a lot of red states, because less red tape. I mean, I know it seems like a counterintuitive idea, but red states, it's much easier to be a landlord. It's much easier to get construction going. I want to talk about your team, Jazz, because you guys have one of the top teams, certainly in your company that you're underneath the Royal LePage. So you 700 transactions. Now we have a lot of realtors that do watch this show, and a lot of real estate investors that do watch this show. So speak to the real estate agent right now who is looking and saying, "Wow, what is your secret? How are you guys able to get that many transactions? What are you guys doing that's maybe different than what the traditional realtor has been doing and not succeeding?"
So first and foremost, we lead with education, So much so that we wrote a book called Real Estate Intelligence, which essentially has chapters broken up into the buying intelligence, selling intelligence, and investor intelligence. More importantly, we literally teach people in the public how to buy on their own, how to sell on their own, as well as how to invest on their own. I know that might sound counterproductive because we're realtors. But in our country, only 2% of people actually buy, sell, or invest by themselves. So I think what a lot of realtors do is focus on that 2%. We decided to focus on the 98% of people that will always use the services of a real estate agent. Now, what we like to do and how we get our word out is we like to become the authority through branding. So we have our book, we also have a podcast, we have a media page where we're constantly discussing and showcasing how to do things by on your own. We know that most people won't, and hopefully they'll use us for the service because we're kind of top of mind. I was mentioning to you off air that I produce approximately 20 to 25 pieces of content daily on all social platforms. I do that because I love actually hearing people say, "Jazz, I see you everywhere." Well, yeah, it's better than seeing me nowhere. And so we produce a lot of content. We make it very, very easy. You know, you ask what's the secret. You mentioned 25 years in the real estate business. It's actually 25 years in the sales and service industry, 15 years specifically in the real estate business. And I think the secret sauce is that we make it very easy for people to buy. We remove the friction, so to speak. Like, instead of trying to be pushy, we give them the education. Like when I show homes or somebody on my team shows homes, Clayton, you know, I tell them, say, "Hey, Clayton, we're here to see the home. If you don't like it, you're not hurting my feelings. It's not my house. I'm probably never going to stay here. I'll come over for the housewarming. I'll have a couple of drinks. Might knock out that night. But other than that, Clayton, I'm never going to live here. You'll know within the first 2-3 minutes if this is something that you're going to live in. I'm going to take a seat on the couch. I might watch some TV. I might read the magazine. I want you to go through the home, see if this is somewhere you want to live. I'm here to answer any questions you might have. If I don't have the answers, I'll get them for you. And then the most important thing is I'm here to negotiate the deal for you, to negotiate the best deal for you." You know, it's funny. Like, I don't know how many HGTV shows and stuff you guys see, anybody who's watching or listening, but you'll see the agent like, "Clayton, look at the kitchen and its granite countertops." And like, what, is Clayton an idiot? He knows what a kitchen looks like. Like, just make it easy for him. Right. Don't be the pushy person. Like, I hate being pushed to be buying a pair of $100 shoes, let alone trying to, like, I would never have the audacity to push someone or manipulate someone to purchase, you know, $400, $500, $800, $900, $1 million home. So just make it very easy for them.
Yeah, open the door. That doesn't make sense to me. I just was saying I was muted by accident, but we had just had on the show Tarek El Moussa from Flip or Flop and on HGTV. But, and if you watch those shows, not his show, but you watch any of those other HGTV shows, I'm like, why are you trying to convince, $1 million property? They're going to have to know that they're in love with this property. This is not a small transaction. So any kind of arm twisting about different things seems ridiculous.
It's funny. I hate even being pushed to purchase a pair of $100 shoes, let alone have the audacity to push someone to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars or $1 million home. You see so many people on TV, like the HGTVs and the Bravos, and I get it, they're doing it for TV, but you'll see agents walking in saying, "Clayton, look at this kitchen. It has granite countertops, and come, let me show you the bathroom." Clayton's not an idiot. He knows what a kitchen and a bathroom look like. Make it easy for people to buy. Answer their questions, do it in a timely manner, and then your real job as a realtor is to negotiate the best possible deal if you're dealing with a buyer, seller, or investor. It's not to try to push them and be salesy. Nobody likes, think about it, you don't like being pushed to buy anything. And so again, your job really is to negotiate the best possible deal.
Let's talk about the new reality that we're living in right now, which is this virtual reality. We had an investor on the other day who works out of New York City, and what he does is he brings buyers and sellers together who are able to but they're doing a lot of it virtually now, looking for apartments in New York City. And it's the new normal. How has this pandemic been a catalyst for things that were already moving in this direction for you guys?
You know, it's funny. I laugh. Like, I think the funniest meme I ever seen during the pandemic is somebody asking who's behind the pandemic, and then they take off the mask and it's the Zoom logo. I laugh to myself because, man, I should have invested into Zoom, because we were using this about two. We started using it about 2 years ago because a lot of our investors are right across the country investing into the Greater Toronto Area. So for us, we were quite prepared. Like, we were prepared really well. What we've started to do after the first week of the lockdown, because we do a lot of live events where we do like wine and cheese, or we'll do brunch live, we do dinners. So what we started doing, obviously, is doing them online. And we got some amazing response. We do a brunch with REC every Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Myself and my partner will either speak about what's happening in the real estate market, like actual facts and figures. But then that kind of gets boring. And so what we started doing for the last couple of ones is bringing on guests. We brought on financial advisors. We brought on mortgage brokers, lawyers, somebody from the landlord-tenant board. We brought on developers. And we've been getting about anywhere from 400 to 500 people sign on live every single Saturday morning. This coming Saturday, I think we're up to about 700 people. Now, what we also found out, and for our realtors out there, that if somebody's not working, pushing them to buy real estate and going back to the original, like going back to the conversation from earlier, just doesn't make sense. They lost their job. Help. You're in the sales and service industry, so serve people. But what we found also is people who still have a job, like our unemployment rate right now in the country is 15%, highest it's been in a very, very long time. That's 15%. But that also means that 85% of people are employed. They're working. So what we started doing is focusing on the people that are working and educating them that times like this, compelling buying opportunities start to present themselves. And so we went back to a lot of our developers, started negotiating rental guarantees, better down payment structures, presented those to our clients. And we've had about 6-7 clients in the last 10 days go into contract because they know, hey, I'm working. It's a pandemic. I mean, it's a virus. It's going to go away sooner, like soon. In terms of a vaccine coming, that might take, you know, 12 months to 18 months. But you can start to feel, we're starting to feel that we're going to start reopening very soon, like in phases. And so consumer confidence is still there. And it's those people who are initiating deals.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing the same thing with our properties right now because they're rented now with a tenant in place, cash flow, and their healthcare workers and others, they are working. So that was one of our biggest questions entering this, you know, would tenants be paying rent? And so far, right, on wood, that's been fantastic. We've had almost 100% collections in rent and not any issues so far.
That's amazing thing, because our numbers just came in at 88% of people in our province paid rent of April 1st. Now we have, right around the corner, we have May 1st coming at the time of this recording. We'll start to see what happens. But as I mentioned, 85% of people are still working, right? And so I don't see a big drop in terms of rents.
Yeah, that's good news. Good news out of Canada on that. Talk a little bit about the content production. So again, for any realtors who are thinking, like, how can I attract, you know, how can I connect with my audience? How can I reach new potential clients in my backyard if I'm going to buy and sell houses as a seller's agent or as a buyer's agent? You're producing 25 pieces of content a day. We produce a boatload here as well to try to reach different audiences. How do you do it? What advice do you have for a realtor that says, how do I put together 25 pieces of content?
Try not to think about the 25. Let's just start with one. But first and foremost, I think you need to figure out and be self-aware what you're going to be natural at. What type of medium are you going to produce content through? As we know, we learn either through video or audio or even the written word. A lot of people, you know, look, not everyone is good looking as you, Clayton. Like, not everyone looks as good as you do on camera. So not everyone has that natural ability. You know, you and I, like, you could probably tell I move my hands a lot. I'm animated. I love it. I love video. I love everything about it. I'm learning more and more as I go. However, there's so much friction in what I find with realtors and just people in general, where it's like, okay, well, I can't do video. I'm scared to do it, or I need to do my makeup, I need to do my hair, I need to have the right clothes on, and that slows it down. Look, we don't all learn or just watch videos. I mean, you have a podcast, Clayton. I have a podcast. You can literally talk into a headset. You don't even need all the fancy tech that that we have or a lot of podcast studios do. You literally can record into a headset, put it into a software. It's free, Anchor or SoundCloud or Libsyn. You upload it. It's free and it goes to the world. Or you can, like me, for example, I can't write an email. I write all my emails like in the subject line, and it's usually if somebody emails me, I reply back, when's a good time to get on a call? Not the best use of my time, but I'm very natural at it. I like to get to the point where I find like me writing will take me, it'll take me 30 minutes to write what I can say in 5. So I know I'm not good at writing, but there's a lot of people who love writing. You can produce content through writing, and there's a great site. It's medium.com. 150 million users go there a month. So we know there's a lot of awareness. So first and foremost, what I tell all realtors is find out what you're going to be natural at and what you're going to be able to do like right away, video, audio, or the written word. And then the next question we get, and you asked it yourself as well, like, what do I talk about? Look, people are going to always do the digital deep dive on you and find out what you do for a living. I would start with something that you're very passionate about. If that's real estate, that's okay. Speak about real estate. But also add some other stuff that you're passionate about. So for me, for example, I love entrepreneurship. I love speaking to people, guys and gals that are starting a business. I've spoken to people who have a $1 billion business and everything in between. It's how I learn. I don't have a formal education. My education came through seminars, books, audio books, and obviously now podcasts. But that's my passion. I like to speak about entrepreneurship. If your passion is, you know, like my favorite pop is root beer. If you like root beer, speak about root beer. If you like gardening, speak about gardening. If you like, Dallas Cowboys, I'm a big guy. You mentioned Texas a couple of times. I'm a Cowboys fan. And so I would speak about football. I would speak about the Dallas Cowboys. What you'll start to notice is you'll like attracts like. You'll start to attract people that just want to get to know you a little bit more. They'll start to find out, well, what does Jazz really do? What does Clayton really do? They do that digital deep dive. They come across some real estate stuff that you do, and they're just going to want to do business with you because they connect with you on a different level. When you want to add some real estate content, just it's very simple. Every single buddy who's watching this or listening that's in the business, we get daily questions through phone calls, emails, texts. I just reproduce that content. What's Jazz? What's my closing cost when I purchase a home? And I'm obviously answering that for the client. Once I get off that phone call or shoot that text message or shoot that email to the client, I then just literally put the video in selfie mode and talk about that question. And I probably get now, you know, I probably get 25, 30 questions a day. But if there's somebody who's watching who only gets one, just produce that piece of content through video, audio, or the written word.
That's great advice. And you have, don't be scared of the medium. I mean, look, with an iPhone, you can be recording a great 4K, 60 frames a second and upload it to YouTube content. You know, a lot of people do that and realtors can do that. I think what's great too about YouTube and drilling down on blog posts and doing a podcast, which is specific to your market. Let's just say you live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, just picking a market. You could, you know, create the Tulsa, Oklahoma real estate podcast and own it. Invite other people, brokers and mortgage lenders and so forth to come on your podcast and just own that space. And you become top of mind, top of search results, and, write blog posts around what is happening in the Tulsa market. I know that's how I found one of my first rental properties in Michigan was on a forum on some local Michigan RIA forum. I found a distressed property realtor who I met with, became friends with, and connected me on my first few foreclosures that I bought and renovated. All because he was active and commenting on questions that people were asking. That's how I found him. So you're absolutely right.
Look, I mean, I think, and I'm sure you'll agree, like from a podcast perspective, being a podcast host, you might think it's hard. It's probably one of the easiest things to do, right? Like, and what I mean by that, aside from getting guests, and that's obviously tough. And there's work involved. I shouldn't say it's tough. There's work involved. But like, you have 3, 4, 5 questions that you generally ask, right, Clayton? I'm kind of the same. And you pull the questions from some of the answers as you're doing right now. But the neat thing with doing a podcast or any kind of interview style blog or video is that the people that you're speaking with, you're now getting out to their network. The average person, I always say, the average person knows 200 people. So your network is not 200 people. Your network now is 40,000, because the 200 you know, they know 200 and 200 and so on and so forth. Now, out of 40,000 people, you need to find out who you're going to connect with. It's not a game of convincing. It's a game of sorting. You're trying to sort who you will attract. I myself, for example, I do every day, I pretty much wear the same thing. It's a couple of t-shirts or a couple of sweaters. They're branded with my company. I'm very comfortable like that. Now, somebody might see me on my video. Somebody might see me on some images on Instagram and say, you know what? I just don't connect with this guy. Like there's no, I want a realtor in a suit. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to try to connect with everyone. But what I learned is the people that do connect with me, we've already broken the ice, so to speak. Like we're past the appearance of me. It's now like, hey, let's get down to business, or let's just get to know each other. So anybody who's watching or listening, like, your life, my business changed and my life changed just by producing content. I've been doing it every single day consistently for a year and a half. And I'm sitting with Clayton, and he's in Portugal. I'm in Toronto. We're going to, you know, be off air. We're speaking about how we can do some collaborations. I'm going to try to bring him value. He's going to try to bring me value. Like, so much comes out of just producing content and speaking to the world. You need to get out to the world. If you're looking for people's business and you're a hidden agent, a secret agent, that's not what you want to do. You want to get out, start speaking. Don't worry if it's not real estate right away. And start to add that as you go. Just get comfortable with speaking to the world.
That's great advice, my friend. That's great advice. And I'm excited to be able to work with you and do some great stuff together over the next few months. Join on some live streams here and be able to bring value to your audience and likewise. So I'm excited about that. So Jazz, I'll get you out of here on this last question, man. What's next for you guys in the office? What are you seeing for the rest of the year in 2020 into 2021?
So for us, I'm like, what the second we started, like the lockdown happened, within about 3 days, I need about 6-7 people around me on a daily basis. It's been like that for years. And obviously because of social distancing, we weren't able to do that. So I started a virtual office, 2 virtual offices that I bounce back and forth from. There's like kind of my sales office, sales team, like my core sales team, and then my admin staff and media squad. So I just jump back and forth. Once this gets over, it's going to be a lot more events. It's going to be a lot more collaboration with people in our city, like with someone like yourself as well. We were the number one team in Canada for Royal LePage, which is out of 18,000, but there's still other franchises that we didn't beat them yet. So for me, that's the next goal. We're probably about 250 to 300 transactions away per year from that number one in Canada across all brands, because I want no discussion about it. It's not just going to be under the Royal LePage brand, which is Canada's largest. But there's still a couple of teams that did do more transactions than us, and I'm competitive, so I want to get to the number one spot. And that might take me a couple of years, but I love the process, and so I'm enjoying it, and I'm just going to enjoy that process.
Love it. Love it, my friend. Well, it's been a real treat getting to know you. How can people connect with you up there in Canada if they want to work with your team, they want to buy real estate, sell real estate? How can they connect with you guys?
You know, the easiest way to connect with us is go to jazztakar.ca. That's it's like the music, but spelled differently. It's JASTAKHAR.ca. You choose the platform and you choose how you want to consume my content. And I hope to meet you someday.
Absolutely, my friend. I do as well. Come to Canada sometime when it's not as cold.
Yeah, look, man, our May to September is amazing. July and August get up to 35, 40 degrees with Humidex. definitely. In fact, I'll be insulted if I found out you came to Toronto and didn't book me up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, like I said, I was in the United States just a few weeks ago before all the lockdown happened, and it was freezing, and I couldn't get away to get back to some sunshine. So I'll wait for that. Yeah, it's great to meet you, my friend, and we will connect soon. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on, Clayton, and thank you for everything that you do, all the positivity that you're putting out there, all the optimism that you're spreading. Thank you for doing that. We need more people, not only in our industry but just in general, man. And thank you for elevating the industry for sure. Really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That we really try to do that here on our channel. No negativity and trying to elevate people. There's enough negativity out there and hurtful people in this world. So, I appreciate you, my friend. And I thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. We really appreciate it. Share this podcast with someone you think could use financial intelligence. Help a realtor that you know that might be struggling right now. Send this content out to them and take advice from Jazz to implement this in your office to really look at your home right now. Maybe have the opportunity to rethink your entire business approach. This podcast maybe is the catalyst that you needed to rethink your approach as a realtor or as an investor. I don't know, but I hope that you found it valuable. We'll see you next time, everyone.